The full story of Ted Kennedy's collusion with Moscow needs retelling no less than Chappaquiddick did. So writes history professor Dr. Paul Kanger in an article called The Kremlin's Dupe, Ted Kennedy's Russia Romance. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Paul Kanger, we welcome you back to the program. Great to have you on.
Anytime, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay, great. All right, and just to give us a little context, you are not only a history professor, you teach political science. That's at Grove City College. You're the author of many books, including several on Reagan, and a lot of books dealing with the Soviet Union, the collapsed Soviet Union, the communist state. And there was even one you wrote called Dupes, and I remember Ted Kennedy played a role, or the Ted Kennedy was featured in parts of that book, Dupes. So welcome to the program. It's so great to have you on. So tell us about Ted Kennedy and the communists, the USSR, during the days of the Cold War.
Oh, it's crazy. And let me add on Dupes. We've just re-released that in paperback.
In fact,
we actually released it last week, and it originally came out in 2010, and so we've updated it. And among the things in that book is the original document in Russian, and then also the English translation of Ted Kennedy making an offer to Yuri Andropov, the head of the Soviet Union. And the actual document is written, Jerry, by Viktor Chebrikov, who was the head of the KGB. It's May 14th, 1983. And it's addressed from Chebrikov, head of the KGB, to Andropov, head of the Soviet Union. So you can't get higher level than this. And it says, Committee on State Security of the USSR, which in the Russian acronym was KGB. And the subject head says, regarding Senator Kennedy's request to head of the Communist Party, YV Andropov. And then it says there that just in the last couple of days, you know, May 9th, 10th, 1983, John Tunney, a Democratic senator from California, who had been a law school roommate of Ted Kennedy at the University of Virginia a decade and a half earlier, was there in Moscow making this offer on behalf of Ted Kennedy. And the offer was for Ted Kennedy to go to Moscow, meet with Andropov, to bring Kennedy to help bring Andropov and other Soviet officials to the United States to meet with friendly media. And this was all done in the context of, as Kennedy described it to Chebrikov, the problem of Ronald Reagan, right? There had been this deterioration, they believed, in U.S.-Soviet relations, and this was because of Reagan. It was because of Reagan's belligerence. They used that word, Reagan's belligerence. Reagan's refusal to compromise because of Reagan's stubbornness. And this is all contrary here, Jerry, to Ted Kennedy's view of Andropov. It says Kennedy is, quote-unquote, very impressed with Yuri Andropov. So and it's also done within the context of the 1984 presidential election, which was coming up a year later. And as I'm saying all this, you're probably thinking of, you know, aren't we worried about Donald Trump colluding with the Russians against Hillary? Isn't this kind of collusion right here, right? I don't know if it's technically quote-unquote collusion, but this was a very disturbing thing that Ted Kennedy offered to the Russians. And we learned about it. The document was first found in Soviet files in 1992. I reported it even before my 2010 book. I reported it in a 2006 book on Ronald Reagan called The Crusader, Ronald Reagan and the Fall of Communism. And I give those dates because Ted Kennedy was still alive at that point. And no one in the media ever asked Kennedy about this. He totally got away with it because no one in his sympathetic media was bothered by it or cared about it, or even more so because they wanted to protect their guy, Ted Kennedy.
Would it be fair to say that because Ronald Reagan was so strong in his opposition to communism that he helped essentially force an end to the Cold War, and Russia was the one that ultimately blinked in this?
Oh, yeah. Well, and there were so many different things that Reagan did. I mean, Reagan was hitting the Soviets with economic warfare, announced the Strategic Defense Initiative, which, Jerry, a guy named Ted Kennedy immediately smeared as a Star Wars scheme.
Yeah.
That's what he called it. That phrase, Star Wars.
And that's name started by stuck.
Yeah. It was started by Ted Kennedy the very morning after Reagan's SDI speech. And it was started by Kennedy on the floor of the Senate. I talked to Herb Meyer, who was Bill Casey's right-hand man at the CIA, and he said the overnight intelligence that he saw from the Soviets was they were completely freaked out when Reagan announced SDI. Herb said it was like Reagan had found the silver bullet, and Moscow was frantic in the overnight cables he saw. And then Herb said, I hear my radio, and I hear Ted Kennedy describing it as Star Wars, making fun of it. And he instantly gave the Soviets a propaganda term to use against SDI to try to undermine it. So there are so many ways like this that Ted Kennedy was a total dupe and useful idiot to the Soviets, to Moscow. It's kind of frightening how bad he was.
Would any of this have crossed the line of treason?
I was asked about that a number of times when The Crusader first came out. In fact, I remember doing Hannity and Combs, and Sean Hannity screaming at me, saying, "Call it treason! Call it treason!" And I told him, I said, "Look, that's beyond my pay grade, right? I don't know if this technically was or wasn't treason. I mean, that's a very complicated thing to allege, but it's certainly deeply disturbing, and it's the kind of thing that would absolutely lead you, especially the May 1983 KGB document. It would certainly open the door to consider whether or not it was treason. It's a good question. It's a fair question.
Okay, as far as what Ted Kennedy was perceiving, it was almost, would it be fair to say that he almost viewed Ronald Reagan as a greater threat to world peace at that time, 1983, 1984, in that zone, more than Yuri Andropov, the head of the Soviet Union, the head of what Ronald Reagan called the evil empire?
Well, and isn't this interesting? Talking to somebody about this last week when they read this piece in the American Spectator that I wrote on this, and he said, I'm just doing the timeline here and Googling a little bit. The downing of the Korean airliner, Cal 007, occurred just a few months after Kennedy's offer, and it did. It occurred September 1st, 1983. 269 civilians on a civilian aircraft that the Soviets shot out of the sky. And the Soviets denied doing it initially. There were 61 Americans on that plane. And so that was just a few months after this note where Kennedy talks about being impressed with Andropov as opposed to the belligerent Reagan, as he put it. And we now have Reagan's diaries from after that period. And Reagan wrote down, had a briefing today about Andropov. His health is ailing. He's ailing terribly. Seems very much out of sight these days. And it was a few months after that, I think it was February 1984, that Andropov died. And, if I may say this on a Christian show, thank God that Andropov died, because he was a nasty, mean, dangerous man. And if Andropov had not died, Mikhail Gorbachev wouldn't have eventually come in. And I don't think the Cold War would have ended as it did. But Andropov was not someone to be impressed with. This was a thug, a nasty individual. And I should add here, for kind of contemporary context, he was also the boss of a KGB lieutenant colonel by the name of Vladimir Putin in the 1980s.
Oh, wow. All right, here's a line from your article, and this is what the head of the KGB said. And again, we're going back to the mid-80s. Kennedy, as in Ted Kennedy, Kennedy believes that given the state of current affairs and in the interest of peace, it would be prudent and timely to undertake the following steps to counter the militaristic politics of Reagan. end quote. Your comment on that letter or that statement?
Yeah, I mean, it's an offer to literally, quote unquote, counter Reagan. And they use the phrase he wants to reach out to Andropov, visit Andropov, and bring some Soviet political and military leaders to the United States, including Andropov, to, quote unquote, help influence Americans. And they even note there among American journalists, Ted Kennedy offers to connect Andropov and other Soviet officials with Walter Cronkite and Barbara Walters.
Mm.
So those two are actually noted in the memo. So, you know, right there, this goes beyond just Kennedy expressing his concern about Reagan. He's offering to help the Soviets, quote unquote, counter Reagan in the very words of the head of the KGB himself, Viktor Chebrikov. So, you know, here is a smoking gun document at the literal highest levels that, you know, if the Democrats had something like that right now, Jerry, on Donald Trump, I mean, the impeachment hearings would already be scheduled. And Republicans would probably be forced to vote yes if they had a document like that. But here with Kennedy, they're lion of the Senate, as they put it. They just completely looked past it.
Wow. Did Ted Kennedy call Reagan a cowboy in this memo at all?
I'm trying to think, did he use the word cowboy? I don't think he used the word cowboy.
Okay.
But they certainly saw him that way. The Soviets used that term all the time. And Kennedy used language to describe Reagan like that. And really, to kind of double down on the Star Wars idea, I think he's trying to portray Reagan here as this kind of idiotic, fictional, lost in Hollywood fantasy movies actor who sees himself as Luke Skywalker, right? You know, taking on the Death Star and the evil empire and Darth Vader. And so for Kennedy, that term Star Wars, I think, was also used to, not I think, I know, but to ridicule, to lampoon Reagan and his idea, an idea that became crucial to winning the Cold War and defeating the Soviet Union.
Yeah, you know, and I think today, and I'm sure you know this as a college professor with young people, you're dealing with young people all the time. People today, you know, now that the Cold War is long over, or at least the first iteration of it is long, long over, people have no idea about how real the Soviet threat was and how if you took a globe and let's say we went back to a map of the world in 1983 and we were to put in red all the countries that were communists or under the Soviet influence, and then you put, let's say, blue for all those under, you know, American influence, or at least some sort of freedom, or it was a democratic type republic, not just in name only, but in reality. By the way, I often wonder why in the world in modern American politics do they, you know, talk about a state that votes Republican or conservative as red. You know, to me, the red is affiliated with the communists and the blue is like blue American. You know, I almost wonder if some leftists snuck that on us sometime about 10 years ago or something and it stuck.
Oh, I think so. That had to have happened as like a deliberate thing by liberals in the media who controlled the TV screens.
Wow.
Because I swear, Jerry, I remember at one point them using red for Democrats. And really, you had different stations, you had different TV networks were using different colors.
Yeah.
And then at one point, they must have all thought, well, we better just call, we can't call our own side a bunch of reds, right? How about pink for the Democrats? Maybe that would have been better.
Yeah, you're actually, well, we have 20 seconds to go. Any thought? I'm sure you're not holding out any hope for the media to expose this point about Ted Kennedy.
No. And I would just, if I may make a shameless plug, if people want to read more on this, just go online to Amazon. My book is called Dupes. And that whole document is there in the original Russian and the English translation. Read it for yourself.
All right.
Read it charitably, and even then you're going to be appalled by what you read.
Dr. Paul Kanger, always a pleasure. Visionandvalues.org for more information. Thank you, Paul. All the best.
All right. Anytime, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye now.